Are you trying to squeeze the starting solid food stuff into your already busy schedule? Well, I have an all-in-one, done-for-you solution that's going to take the guesswork out of feeding your baby. My online program is called Baby-Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro. It contains all of my baby-led weaning training videos, the original 100 First Foods content library, plus a 100-day meal plan with recipes, like the exact sequence of which foods to feed in which order. So if you want to stop trying to piece all this feeding stuff together on your own, I would be honored if you would join me inside of the program. You can get signed up at babyledweaning.co/program.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There are so many Instagram out there that it's showing these perfect meals and these perfect ways to feed babies. And that's not how most babies look. We have this idea of getting kids to do things. We have to let them do what they're going to do on their time frame, and we need to support them. We can help the parents stay calmer and say, don't worry about that right now. We just need to work on hand to mouth right now. Don't worry about volume.
Hey there, I'm Katie Ferraro, registered dietitian, college nutrition professor, and mom of seven, specializing in baby-led weaning. Here on the Baby-Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro podcast, I help you strip out all of the noise and nonsense about feeding, giving you the confidence and knowledge you need to give your baby a safe start to solid foods using baby-led weaning.
What are the signs that your baby is ready to start solid foods? And are all babies even really ready right at the 6-month mark? I mean, what if your baby isn't sitting up yet, but your doctor tells you to start? Or what if you think your baby's ready early, which is generally before 6 months of age? So there are lots of developmental things that are going on for your baby around the 6-month mark. And that's generally when we start thinking about starting solid foods. But there's also a lot of variation between babies, and not all babies are moving at the same developmental pace as one another. My guest today knows a lot about developmental readiness. She works almost exclusively with infants in feeding. Her name is Amy Manilowski, and she's a registered dietitian and an early intervention specialist. So Amy is a mom of three. She's a former NICU dietitian, and she's licensed in the state of Illinois, which is where she practices. So Amy works in the early intervention program, and the babies that she works with have at least a 30% delay in their fine or gross motor skill development. And this is important because what Amy does for her job is she helps families identify where the delays are and then provides them with the skills that they can use to then help get their baby's nutrition back on track. So I wanted to interview Amy to have her help us understand a bit more about the developmental changes that our babies are going through as they get ready to start solid foods. And in particular, I wanted to pick her brain around strategies for parents for when they get external pressures to start solid foods too early. So whether that's grandma saying, oh, that baby is hungry or he needs food, or maybe a pediatrician who's pushing for starting cereals or purees prior to 6 months. Amy is going to explain about typical versus atypical milestone achievements prior to starting solid foods. She's going to also share a particularly challenging case that she worked on recently where her and the speech language pathologist that she partners with, they had to help navigate a cow's milk protein allergy for a baby. And then she's going to alleviate any fears you might have over your baby, quote, not getting enough or not eating enough. And then what do you do if those feelings do start to creep in after you've made that transition to solid foods? So with no further ado, here is Amy Manilowski talking about, is my baby developmentally ready to start solid foods?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I have heard so much about you from Jill Rabin. I actually got to meet her in person recently. She's a speech language pathologist who's been on our show a number of times. She's also a feeding therapist and a lactation professional. And she told me a lot about the work that you guys do together, and your specialty area is in pediatric nutrition. So could you tell us just a little bit about your professional background and then how you came to do the line of work that you do in early intervention?
Sure. So I'm a registered dietitian, and I have been a dietitian for about 23 years, almost 24 years. So I've been in this for a long time. And I graduated and did your normal route of going into the clinical setting in a hospital. And I was there for many years. And while there, I got a little bit of a taste of pediatrics at the beginning. And then one time I got to work and I was given the pediatric floor as my new floors to cover. And if you're a dietitian, you kind of know how that works. You get told where to go and you start working on those floors. So I worked in pediatrics for about 5 years exclusively and fell in love with it. I loved working with the parents. I loved working with the nurses and the team approach. It was a little different than maybe working on a surgical floor or something. And I really enjoyed that. And I did do NICU work too. I covered the NICU when the NICU dietitians were gone. Then I decided to stay home with my little girl. She was about 18 months when I decided to stay home with her. And I was home for about a year. And during that time, I was always kind of looking for that next thing to do. And my husband mentioned that early intervention program in Illinois hires dietitians. And he heard about it from a friend of his who works with orthotics through early intervention. And so I was able to become credentialed in early intervention. And it has been the best decision I ever made. I have to give credit to my husband for pushing me to get all the signatures and all the paperwork I needed to start an early intervention. And that has been just a godsend. And I've been in early intervention now for 15 years and working every day.
And could you tell us what early intervention entails? And is it the same in every state?
No. So it's much different in every state, and it looks different on paper. It looks different on the way that the therapists actually come into the home. So early intervention is a program that's preschool, and it's getting kids ready to go into the school system. And it is an amazing program. It's a 0 to 3 year old program. And so once kids hit 3 years old, then they would go into the school system if they need additional support. So for children who are coming that have prematurity, or they have medical concerns, even just developmental concerns, they can be recommended by their pediatrician. They can be recommended by a social worker, or just parents alone can reach out to the early intervention program provider and ask for an evaluation. Any child, 0 to 3 year olds, is eligible to have an evaluation, no matter what the reasoning is.
Besides prematurity, like I know my quadruplets were born in California and they were born premature. So they qualified for high risk early intervention up until age 3. And I loved it because we would go to UC San Diego and all of the research people were there and you could just ask all of your questions. It was so interesting. And then after 3, they kind of like aged out of it. And I was always curious what things other than prematurity would have had allowed a family to qualify for those same services.
So you have to, in the state of Illinois, you have to have a 30% delay in one of the main areas, which would be speech, motor, which is fine motor, and gross motor skills. And I think those are the main 3 areas. And then we have developmental, which is an overview of all those put together.
And who determines what like a 30% delay is? Like you'd have to have your pediatrician refer you?
Your actual therapist who's evaluating that person. So the professional that's in that degree gets to make that decision. And they are the professionals who are the experts. And so if a physical therapist is coming in to see your child, they have their own state approved evaluation tool that they will use that will give a percentage that the state then uses to decide whether the child would enter the program or not.
I know that you work primarily with infants, and I'm just curious, what sort of diagnoses or conditions do the babies that you work with, like what do they have or what are they experiencing?
So a lot of them have feeding challenges. That might be breast feeding challenges. That might be just oral motor feeding challenges. Those are those 2 main challenges in the 0 to 12 month range. Then we also have low weight or slow weight gain is a large one. I see a lot of kiddos with Down syndrome and they are automatically qualified for the program. So if you have a child who has Down syndrome, you know, they should be automatically referred to the early intervention program in your state. But if they're not, please get them in there. And then anyone with a tube feed or tube feeding concerns, I see a lot of those. And those, I love my tube feeding kids. And I love helping parents get their kids off of tube feedings. And then also for kiddos that might just have feeding concerns in motor wise, right? Like they cannot self-feed, they'll pull me in to make sure that the kids are getting an adequate nutrition.
When you say babies that have feeding challenges, are you seeing like pediatric feeding disorder as a diagnosis and that's how they come into your ecosystem? Or is it like a pediatrician catching it and say, hey, this doesn't look typical. You should go see early intervention. Who defines what a feeding challenge is?
So often it is the pediatrician. We also have parents who will self refer. Their kids just aren't eating like they, you know, their first child was easy and now this one's really difficult. The pediatricians will also, they do those ASQs in the office. And sometimes that's going to be the flag that has kids go into the EI program or get referred to there. And then it's often a lot of parents self-report, right? My child is not doing X, Y, and Z. But I will say often that feeding piece is combined with other things. The child's not walking. The child is having some fine motor concerns. And then in those interviews with the parents, we find out that there's feeding concerns too. So that feeding concern might not be the first thing that gets them in there, but we definitely want to catch it and we definitely want to address it once they're in.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Amy, can you talk a little bit about developmental readiness for starting solid foods? Like, what does that look like in a typically developing infant, and how might that change for a baby, let's say, with Down syndrome?
So, you know, we're really looking, you know, Katie, you've had wonderful podcasts about that developmental piece, and we're looking for those same things. We're looking for motor, to have that strong motor base, being able to sit by 6 months old, to be able to stay in midline, which means that the head stays straight because that makes the safest swallow. So if the child is kind of slunched over in their chair, that's not going to be a safe swallow. So we either have to support their head and their neck in some way, or we need to hold off on starting solids. We want to see if a child can do that hand to mouth, meaning that they're bringing toys to their mouth already. They're able to have that nice shoulder girdle support to be able to use their arms. And then, of course, to make sure they're safe to swallow, that medical piece, some of our babies need to be checked on that before we can start solids. The one thing about early intervention is we are not a medical provider. We are a developmental provider. So if a child is having swallowing issues, we are not the ones that are allowed to advance their diet. It has to go through the hospital feeding therapist and the dietitian there. And then we take those orders that they get discharged with, and then we get to work with those.
I know of your work. As I mentioned, I met you through Jill Rabin. She's well known in the infant feeding world for her adapted baby-led weaning approach. And she does work with infants and children who have feeding challenges and Down syndrome. So she's an SLP and a feeding therapist. I know she recommends you so highly. And I think it's so wonderful that she gets to work with you daily. You guys, it sounds like you work on almost all of your cases together. I was curious if you could just give us an example of a particularly challenging feeding case that both you and the speech language pathologist, so dietitian and SLP, have worked on together, just to kind of give an idea of how this interdisciplinary approach should work when children have feeding challenges.
Yeah. So when you asked this question, I was thinking about, like, we have so many kiddos that we've really had great success with. And I joke because Jill likes to put me out of a job with her baby-led weaning as I start with them and then I get to discharge. But one of the ones I was thinking about is a little boy who I met when he was 4 months old, a lovely, lovely family, and he had some significant medical history. So he was born with Down syndrome, which was diagnosed after birth. He had a duodenal atresia, which is when the bowels are not fully formed, or there's a stricture in there or a blockage that requires immediate surgery after birth. So he was born with that. He also was diagnosed eventually with a floppy airway, which makes it hard to breathe. And he had an NG tube placed after that first surgery. So Jill was in there first, working on the pre-feeding skills. He was able to drink by mouth, but he wasn't able to support himself with that. I came in at 4 months old. Jill brought me in onto the team, and we started working on those NG tubes. And actually, it was G tubes by the time I got there. He had just had a G tube placed a couple weeks before, which was, we really encourage parents to think about that if it's going to be long term, so we can work with that feeding piece and the oral motor piece without having a tube in there. So Jill kept working with those pre-feeding skills. And then I started working with mom about getting him on a, you know, a really typical infant schedule around that 5-6 months. Then Jill started with solids when he was motorically ready. And I'd have to look back in my notes to see when that was. But in all of this also, he had a milk protein allergy that was diagnosed. That was diagnosed, but then later on it became what we call FPIES. So he was vomiting for multiple weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Even, I know. I mean, You would not believe this history if you saw this kid today. Like, I went back and looked at this history and was like, oh my gosh, like he had this and this and like, oh my gosh, like this is what this kid had. This kid is thriving now. So he had the FPIs with to dairy, and that was diagnosed. And so mom kept dairy out of his diet. But if anyone on this listening to this has a child with FPIs, it can be very scary to continue to introduce foods into your kid.
Oh yeah. And we actually have a whole episode that we did with Marianne Groach on FPIs. So I'll link to that in the show notes, because if you have delayed vomiting longer than 2 hours after ingestion of the suspected food, you do want to consider FPIs. Although I do just want to point out that it's incredibly rare. And what we hate to hear is parents learn a little bit about FPIs, and then every time their baby throws up, they're like, oh my gosh, it's FPIs. Like, you definitely need to be working with a qualified, credentialed feeding expert to help diagnose this. So you're in that system. This baby has FPIs on top of everything else.
Right. So we just, this mother and the father were so good with continuing to move forward with food, and they're from Mexico. So they just had all these wonderful ethnic foods in this child's diet. And Jill just really worked hard on that hand to mouth self-feeding. And he was able to get off the G-tube. He was able to transition to, I believe they did Ripple in the cup, which is a pea protein milk. They kept dairy out of his diet. He thrived. I discharged him once he was like two, because he was just doing great. And he continues. He's now, I just was looking, he's like 3 and a half. He'll be 4 this year. And he is thriving. No, obviously needs for tube feedings. And he is eating amazing. He is on Jill's Instagram.
And one reason I love talking with individuals like yourself who really work with children with feeding challenges is that the schedule might look different, but as a dietitian specializing in baby-led weaning, I'm a firm believer that with the exception of an exclusively tube-fed child, all other children have the capacity to learn how to feed themselves, and they have the right to learn how to do that. But oftentimes their time frame will look different than a typically developing child, and it's important that they're working with a credentialed expert. And that's where I see, like, I spend a lot of time on social media, and we see, unfortunately, a lot of parents being misled. They say, well, I saw on this Instagram account that like Down syndrome babies can do baby-led weaning. The timeline just looks different. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, it doesn't. Like, there's very involved therapy that's happening behind the scenes there. The timeline does look different. And there's all of these different professions who are involved. Not all, but I mean, the SLP, the dietitian, the occupational therapist. There's no one individual who's qualified to help a child with Down syndrome, for example, learn how to become an independent eater. So we have a lot of dietitians and SLPs and OTs, feeding therapists, who listen to this show. Could you just share a little bit about your thoughts regarding interdisciplinary approach for starting solid foods for babies with feeding challenges?
I think it's imperative. I really do. I feel like, you know, I know my portion of helping a child develop. And that is making sure they're getting nutrients, making sure that they're getting enough calories for all the hard work that they have to do in feeding in their motor. But I am not an oral motor expert. So I need that oral motor expert on there. And I need someone to make sure they're, you know, I can look at a child in a high chair and make sure in my visual to see if they're placed right. But I love having that PT, physical therapist, come in and make sure that they are supported and they can order the right chair for them, or they can, you know, so we need an and that's why EI to me is the perfect way to work with a child in a feeding capacity, because I do have access to all these. And the last piece of this puzzle is a social worker. Sometimes when we have a child who's having a lot of feeding issues, there's a lot of other things going on because we work with parents and sometimes it doesn't all line up. So EI also, early intervention, also offers social work opportunities. And so we sometimes even pull them in. So we have a really large interdisciplinary team working with children.
And I just want to add on to your answer there that, yes, you say, oh, I need the PT, I need the SLP. They need you. I take offense or issue when my parents come to me and say, oh, and you know, the SLP, the feeding therapist that I'm working with, gave me this prescription for this many grams of protein. I was like, excuse me? Like, that's completely out of their wheelhouse. Like we were saying, we don't sit here and talk about, you know, motor planning and rotary chewing. We work together with our colleagues who specialize in that. But the registered dietitian, I believe, should play a much larger role in infant feeding in the clinical healthcare setting than they currently do. And that's why I'm just fascinated to be able to talk with you, because there's not a lot of early intervention dietitians out there. I mean, in the state of Illinois, how many EI dietitians do you think there are? Like, if you had to ballpark it.
We are a big state. I know Down state, I am actually doing evals for them down there because they don't have dietitians to do the evals. So, and I mean, that's 400 miles from me. I mean, 25, 50, I don't
know. Wild. It's so important. I think there's so much room for growth in the world of pediatric nutrition because there's certainly such a need for it. And I'm really grateful for the other disciplines who recognize that as well. So Amy, parents, you know this, they get a ton of external pressure to start solid foods early. So family members will say things like, that baby's hungry, he needs food, or your breast milk isn't enough, you should start cereals. And for parents of babies who are not yet 6 months of age and who are not yet demonstrating the reliable signs of readiness to eat, what are your suggestions for these parents on how to handle that pressure?
So I really tell them to stay strong. I give them the information about how I really like gut health, and I'm a very big advocate of helping the gut to be as strong as possible. So I just explain to parents, the gut's not ready for solid food yet before 6 months. And so, you know, so many people worry about allergies and different things. And so I just said, let's let that gut get as strong as possible before we start introducing foods into it. And I know you have some great allergy podcasts too about that. And then really there's no science to starting before 6 months. There's no benefits to it. So I really encourage them to wait for 6 months. And especially if they are going to do adaptive baby led weaning, they might need to even wait a little bit longer than 6 months and make sure their baby is safe as possible before starting solids.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Are you looking for a storytime podcast with your littles? Something that has some great storytelling and maybe some conversation about it? Look no further. With Storytime with Philip and Mommy, my little guy Philip and I sit down every single day and read a story together. And we, of course, want you to join us. Grab your copy of the book, sit down, let's read it, and let's talk about it. We'll learn new words, we'll learn new ideas, and then we'll learn how we can use those stories in our lives. It's a lot of fun. Classics like Little Golden Books or Berenstain Bears, all the way up through the newest phenomenons like Bluey. We talk about them and we have a lot of laughs. It's a great time and we hope that you can come and join us. So please look for us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Storytime with Philip and Mommy. Thanks so much. We'll see you there.
Kind of in closing here, if there's one thing that you want parents to walk away from today, having learned about developmental readiness to start solid foods from a nutrition standpoint, what is that?
I loved your comment about it's going to look different for everyone. And that is one thing that I feel is so important for parents to understand. I love your Instagram and your podcast because it is so spot on, but there are so many Instagram out there that it's showing these perfect meals and mm-hmm. these perfect ways to feed babies. And that's not how most babies look. And I want parents to think, you know, I did a presentation a few months back and it was entitled Letting Go of the Get, right? And we always have, even for professionals, we have this idea of getting kids to do things. We need to get kids to do this and get kids to do that. And I think in baby-led weaning and adaptive baby-led weaning, the kids are the main people that are doing this. We have to let them do what they're going to do on their time frame, and we need to support them. And as dietitians, if they're a little slower in getting to that end line, then we need to look at how can we support parents. Do we need to do a little extra supplementation? Do we need to do, you know, whatever it is we need to do? That's why the dietitian can be so helpful, because we can help the parents stay calmer and say, don't worry about that right now. We're going to let them, we just need to work on hand to mouth right now. Don't worry about volume. Letting parents know that it's going to look different for everyone. And then get support when you feel like you need it. You're not alone.
Amy, I've so enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise. Where can our audience go to learn more about early intervention and in particular the work that you're doing in your state?
So depending on what state you're in, you can definitely go. I'm sure there's an early intervention webpage. So I would definitely go to that. And then your pediatrician should be a very good resource for your early intervention program in your state. And if you'd like to know more information about me, I do have a website. It's happylittletummies.com. I am licensed in Illinois. I do see private clients, but I have to stay in Illinois.
Well, thank you so much. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you.
That was Amy Manilowski, dietitian and early intervention specialist. She's online at happylittletummies.com. And I'll link the resources that she mentioned in the description below, but also on the show notes that you can find at blwpodcast.com/416. A special thank you to our partners at Airwave Media If you guys like podcasts that feature food and science and using your brain, check out some of the offerings from Airwave. We are online at blwpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.